This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this is Tech Talk. We're going to be talking a little bit about renewable energy and how it's been prioritized in developed nations for decades, following years of increasingly indisputable evidence of greenhouse gas emissions and the adverse impact they have towards the environment. As future generations start to panic about how our world is changing, developing nations have only recently started to acknowledge alternative options, like solar power, when it comes to energy sources. Now, locally, a youth entrepreneur, Josh Lee, is furthering the national solar energy conservation by rallying investors to partake in Malaysia's first ever solar fund. A managing partner and co-founder of Malaysia's leading solar energy investment firm, Gagasan Solar, Josh is looking to raise up to 150 million ringgit to ensure that SMEs have greater accessibility to solar energy. Josh, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Richard.
No worries. How are you today?
I'm good. Feeling a bit nervous, but let's get to it.
Let's get through this. You don't need to be nervous. Come on. You're a man who's raising lots of money and hoping to change the future of what Malaysia looks like. Now, tell me a little bit about Gagasan Solar. What is it? Where did it come from?
So my background, originally I was in finance. I was working in Melbourne and subsequently Singapore before coming back to KL. That was about 7-8 years ago. And I was working in finance, in private equity and investment banking for a bit. And I guess I kind of had a quarter-life crisis, I suppose, if you will. I was questioning, what am I doing with my life and my career? And so I kind of jumped straight into the deep end and went into the solar construction industry. And that was about 5-6 years ago. And within these 5 years, we've seen the solar construction firm has seen a lot of growth, and I'm very optimistic about the future of the solar energy industry. I'm a skeptic. I'm actually a skeptic by nature, but over the last 5 years, the progress that we've seen in society in terms of attitudes towards the environment, it's been something that's completely unexpected. I would not have believed that we are here today 5 years ago. So that was what I was doing. I jumped straight into solar construction, and I made a tiny pocket of gold, if you will, in the last 5 years. And now we're looking at kind of transitioning away from being just a solar construction firm into becoming solar developers, where we actually own and operate solar assets instead of just the construction phase. Where Gagasan comes in is Gagasan is an investment manager. We invest in commercial and industrial solar assets, predominantly factories and the like. We invest in developing a solar plant, for example, on the rooftop of a factory, but instead of selling the solar plant, which could go up to the millions of ringgit, we sell the solar energy directly to the factory at a lower rate than whatever their current tariff rate is. So it's kind of a win-win solution. Factories get cheaper, cleaner energy, and investors get high cash flows, high dividends, right? So we're kind of the platform in the middle. We help our investors deploy capital into solar assets, which is traditionally kind of an opaque industry. It's a bit hard to get in. That's a bit of a high level of what Gagasan Solar is.
What you mentioned earlier about you were a little bit surprised how the flip has happened in the last few years. What do you think has been that pivotal moment, perhaps, that kind of pushed people to start really thinking about it?
Honestly, I don't think that there was a cliff. The first time, in my, active memory, that I realized the magnitude of this change, this attitude, towards like valuing the environment and taking care of the environment. The first time I actually realized that this change was happening was that whole movement about plastic straws. Mm-hmm. That happened about 2-3 years ago, and I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah. So people, not just people of my generation, not just young people, but yeah. From all kind of places in society, started kind of valuing the plastic straw thing. So there's no cliff per se, but like it's been a linear progression over the past 5 years. In my opinion, I thought that there would be a ceiling in terms of how interested people would be in saving the environment, but that's been proven wrong. My inference has been proven wrong. Yeah. Instead of there being a cap in terms of how interested people are in saving the environment, it seems like the narrative has shifted into quote unquote saving the environment is profitable, is the next well of profit that you can you can kind of extract from. So it's no longer a trade-off between the environment and profits. Rather, the environment is now the North Star towards profits.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I was going to lead this conversation or you know, guide this conversation. That's kind of what I've been thinking too. You know, people are slowly coming around to the fact that the way in which we have been doing things for so long it is no longer acceptable and is no longer sustainable. So how do you think that kind of it's a difficult question. How do you think that kind of jives with the Malaysian narrative and the Malaysian mindset? Because after all, you know, we're a petrol-driven nation. You know, we derive a lot of our energy from fossil fuels, and a lot of the money that comes into our economy is because of that. How do you discuss with people that have been so used to doing things that way that these alternatives can be profitable for them?
To be honest with you, there is no kind of debate. There is no us against them in terms of renewable energy versus dirty energy. Like all of the people that I've talked to in say traditional industries like petrol and gas, they're even more keen than I am on this switch to becoming environmentally friendly. And the reason for that is because numbers don't lie. It is getting cheaper and cheaper to produce clean energy relative to electricity or energy from dirty sources like traditionally natural gas, oil, and coal, right? And that trend is continuing, and these guys, everybody in the market can see that. So like there is no debate. Even though obviously there are vested interests in continuing the kind of down the path of extracting from natural gas and coal and oil. They are actively looking as well for an opportunity to transition towards the future, which is renewable energy, and in particular, I think solar energy.
Do you think then, to kind of add on to that, then the narrative of the us versus them, it is a push narrative?
I think so. Yeah. So on the ground level, at least in my experience, everybody knows that solar energy or renewable energy is the future. That's not even a point of contention anymore. Perhaps 3 years ago it would have been, but like not today. Like the numbers on the Excel sheet don't lie.
that's the important thing. Okay, we're gonna let's take a short break here, Josh. I'm talking to Josh Lee. He is from Gagasan Solar. They're a solar utility company that sells solar power to Malaysian commercial and industrial buildings at a lower tariff rate than Malaysia's incumbent electricity provider, Tenaga Nasional Berhad, for zero upfront cost. When we come back, we'll be speaking about the solar fund and how it works, how Josh managed to get into such a niche line of work involving millions in investments, and how ambitious this goal of raising 200 million ringgit is, and when and how it's going to come to fruition. That's all coming up after the break here on BFM 89.9.
Brave, free, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this is Tech Talk. We're talking a little bit about renewable energy. On the phone with me right now is Josh Lee, managing partner and co-founder of Malaysia's leading solar energy investment firm, Gagasan Solar. Thanks for staying with us, Josh. Just before the break, we were talking about these perceived divisions, but leave that where it is, and I want to kind of move on a little bit. 200 million ringgit then. It's an ambitious goal. And how are you going about trying to raise this money? And when do you think you might be able to get this money?
So, to be honest with you, 200 million in the infrastructure industry, or even specifically the solar energy industry, doesn't go a long way. especially when you consider, there are these, so traditionally, independent power producers have been developing their own power generation facilities, and that's run into the billions, if not the tens of billions sometimes. Yeah. So this 200 million, in terms of its size, it's more of a starter fund, if you will. in fact,
there's people at home saying what?
yeah. I mean, the scale of the world today, because of globalization, is so hard to fathom. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a couple examples of what I mean when I say 200 million is kind of a starter package. So when we go and pitch to investors, one of the most frequently asked questions is, why is your fund so small? Are you able to achieve economies of scale at that size of 200 million, right? And they're actually looking at, like, a lot of the investors that we've been talking to, they're actually looking at investing something like 50 to 100 million as a minimum. Right. So that's how we're looking at it. We're looking at this as, because Gagasan Solar is the first institutionalized solar energy fund in Malaysia, we're looking at this 200 million as kind of a cautious approach to going into the industry. I mean, it's great to be a pioneer, but you don't want to be a pioneer and then die off, right? I hope that answers your question.
It does. Now, let's talk a little bit more about the solar fund then. Like you say, the 200 million ringgit is kind of a little bit of a safety. But what is this solar fund and how exactly do you see it working?
So it's quite simple, actually. So there are two perspectives to this. One is on the investors that we represent. And the second is towards our clients. So our clients being commercial industrial businesses, primarily factories and industrial zones. I'm going to start by talking about the investor side first. On the investor side, we're defensive investment managers. The returns that we're looking at, literally the first thing that I tell anybody that is interested in investing in us is that this is a get rich slow scheme. So we're not looking at 20% returns. We're looking at recession-proof anti-cyclical returns, which the utility and electricity industry is. So on the kind of investor side, that is our profile. We are defensive investment managers. So on the business side, on the client side, we, as I said earlier in the first part of the interview, we develop solar plants on the rooftops of our clients, so factories, for example. And we kind of supply them the energy at a lower tariff rate than their existing tariff rate. So instantly it's cheaper, cleaner energy for zero upfront cost to the commercial industrial business segment of Malaysia, right? And apart from the clear financial incentives for these businesses to go solar with Gagasan Solar, it's also about increasingly meeting increasingly stringent ESG requirements from trading partners, from from regulators and the like, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just about making or rather saving more money, but it's also about it's an existential risk that commercial industrial businesses are trying to address by going solar. Because if they don't become more environmentally friendly, with the rate that society is valuing the environment today, very soon we won't be seeing any businesses that don't care about ESG, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. So essentially, for these businesses, you're doing a bunch of things. You're kind of future-proofing them in the way that they're using clean technology, but you're also making them aware that, you know, that we look at places like Europe who are very, very strong on ESG, and to a point where, you know, they've even banned many companies from importing their mm-hmm. their products because they don't conform to their stringent rules. So this is a kind of way that some of these factories, you know, are being helped, I guess, to meet some of these standards. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right. I think that the future of the energy mix in Malaysia is there. It's quite possibly going to be a majority solar. Obviously, it can't be entirely solar, but solar works for a majority, maybe 50%, 60%. Yeah, well, according to my amateur calculations, at least. It's going to be a majority. It can't supply the entirety of Malaysia's energy needs, obviously, because it's an intermittent source of energy. So there's got to be a constant supply stemming from maybe energy storage or something down the line. Mm. But yeah, it's going to do a lot of good for the environment.
And manufacturing in Malaysia is huge, and it's not going anywhere anytime soon. And it's very likely that the numbers of factories is going to go up, if anything, I would imagine.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, actually. So earlier in the interview, I mentioned that we're in the defensive. We're defensive investment managers, and this is anti-cyclical. So an example of what I mean is during the recession, I think 2014, 2015. As during the recession itself, commercial and industrial electricity consumption actually accelerated. So yeah, like manufacturing is not going anywhere, especially not in Malaysia. I think that's the plan of the government as well. So the two things, right? The first thing is the government plans to kind of increase grow our economy from the manufacturing side, as well as increase the percentage of solar energy within our energy mix. So these are favorable trends.
Looks like you've got in at just the right time, Josh.
Well, to be honest with you, I wanted to execute this business model 5 years ago during my quarter life crisis, but I was 5 years too early, which is why.
Okay, let me ask you about that. Let me ask you about that then. Why did you think you were 5 years too early? Did you not feel as though the argument was strong enough, perhaps?
So two things, right? The first thing is, or rather one thing, right? Like, as a developing nation, we look at proven business models, evidence from developed economies. And 5 years ago, this business model, commonly known as solar leasing, this business model was kind of getting to be at the stage where it was maturing in the States, in Europe, in Australia. That was the stage 5 years ago. But when I was talking to investors 5 years ago, they required several more years of evidence of this business model actually working. And I guess that's where we are right now, 5 years later,
right?
With 5 years more evidence.
They wanted to see if it was going to stick around long term.
That's right.
Josh, this has been a fascinating discussion. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, Richard.
I've been on the phone with Josh Lee, he's the managing partner and co-founder of Malaysia's leading solar energy investment firm, Gagathan Solar, a utility company that sells solar power to Malaysian commercial and industrial buildings at a lower tariff rate than Malaysia's incumbent electricity provider, Tenaga Nasional Berhad, for zero upfront costs. If you missed any part of this podcast, and I urge you to listen back, head over to where you normally listen to it from. I suggest you use the BFM app. It's available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. I'm Rich Bradbury for BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.